Part 2. Chapter 38. 1. Those who possessed in highest degree the attributes of the Tao did not seek to show them, and therefore they possessed them in fullest measure. Those who possessed in a lower degree than those attributes sought how not to lose them, and therefore they did not possess them in fullest measure. 2. Those who possessed in the highest degree those attributes did nothing with the purpose, and had no need to do anything. Those who possessed them in a lower degree were always doing, and had need to be so doing. 3. Those who possessed the highest benevolence were always seeking to carry it out, and had no need to be doing so. Those who possessed the highest righteousness were always seeking to carry it out, and had no need to be so doing. 4. Those who possessed the highest sense of propriety were always seeking to show it, and when men did not respond to it, they bared the arm and marched up to them. 5. Thus it was that when the Tao was lost, its attributes appeared. When its attributes were lost, benevolence appeared. When benevolence was lost, righteousness appeared. And when righteousness was lost, the proprieties appeared. 6. Now propriety is the attenuated form of leal-heartedness and good faith, and is also the commencement of disorder. Swift apprehension is only a flower of the Tao, and is the beginning of stupidity. 7. Thus it is that the great man abides by what is solid, and eschews what is flimsy, dwells with the fruit and not with the flower. It is thus that he puts away the one and makes choice of the other. Chapter 39. 1. The things which from of old have got the Tao are heaven, which by it is bright and pure, earth rendered thereby firm and sure, spirits with powers by it supplied, valleys kept full throughout their void, all creatures which through it do live, princes and kings who from it get, the model which to all they give. All these are the results of the Tao. If heaven were not thus pure, it soon would rend. If earth were not thus sure, 'twould break and bend. Without these powers, the spirit soon would fail. If not so filled, the drought would parch each veil. Without that life, creatures would pass away. Princes and kings, without that moral sway, however grand and high, would all decay. 3. Thus it is that dignity finds its firm root in its previous meanness, and what is lofty finds its stability in the lowness from which it rises. Hence princes and kings call themselves orphans, men of small virtue, and as carriages without a nave. Is not this an acknowledgment that in their considering themselves mean they see the foundation of their dignity? So it is that, in the enumeration of the different parts of a carriage, we do not come on what makes it answer the ends of a carriage. They do not wish to show themselves elegant-looking as jade, but prefer to be coarse-looking as an ordinary stone. Chapter 40. 1. The movement of the Tao by contraries proceeds, and weakness marks the course of Tao's mighty deeds. 2. All things under heaven sprang from it as existing and named, that existence sprang from it as non-existent and not named. Chapter 41. 1. Scholars of the highest class, when they hear about the Tao, earnestly carry it into practice. Scholars of the middle class, when they have heard about it, seem now to keep it and now to lose it. Scholars of the lowest class, when they have heard about it, laugh greatly at it. If it were not thus laughed at, it would not be fit to be the Tao. 2. Therefore, the sentence-makers have thus expressed themselves. The Tao, when brightest seen, seems light to lack. Who progress in it makes, seems drawing back. Its even way is like a rugged track. Its highest virtue from the veil doth rise. Its greatest beauty seems to offend the eyes. And he has most whose lot the least supplies. Its firmest virtue seems but poor and low. Its solid truth seems changed to undergo. Its largest square doth yet no corner show. A vessel great, it is the slowest made. Loud is its sound, but never word it said. A semblance great, the shadow of a shade. 3. The Tao is hidden and has no name, but it is the Tao which is skillful at imparting to all things what they need and making them complete. Chapter 42. 1. The Tao produced 1. 1 produced 2. 2 produced 3. 3 produced all things. All things leave behind them the obscurity out of which they have come, and go forward to embrace the brightness into which they have emerged, while they are harmonized by the breath of vacancy. 2. What men dislike is to be orphans, to have little virtue, to be as carriages without knaves, and yet these are the designations which kings and princes use for themselves. So it is that some things are increased by being diminished, and others are diminished by being increased. 3. What other men thus teach, I also teach. The violent and strong do not die their natural death. I will make this the basis of my teaching. Chapter 43. 1. The softest thing in the world dashes against and overcomes the hardest. That which has no substantial existence enters where there is no crevice. I know hereby what advantage belongs to doing nothing with a purpose. 2. There are few in the world who attain to the teaching without words, and the advantage arising from non-action. Chapter 44. 1. Or fame or life, which do you hold more dear? Or life or wealth, to which would you adhere? Keep life and lose those other things. Keep them and lose your life. Which brings sorrow and pain more near? 2. Thus we may see, who cleaves to fame rejects what is more great. Who loves large stores gives up the richer state. 3. Who is content, needs fear nor shame. Who knows to stop, incurs no blame. From danger free, long live shall he. Chapter 45. 1. Who thinks his great achievements poor, shall find his vigor long endure. Of greatest fullness deemed devoid, exhaustion ne'er shall stem the tide. Do thou what straight still crooked deem, thy greatest art still stupid seem, and eloquence a stammering scream. 2. Constant action overcomes cold, being still overcomes heat. Purity and stillness give the correct law to all under heaven. Chapter 46. 1. When the Tao prevails in the world, they send back their swift horses to draw the dung carts. When the Tao is disregarded in the world, the war horses breed in the border lands. 2. There is no guilt greater than to sanction ambition, no calamity greater than to be discontented with one's lot, no fault greater than the wish to be getting. Therefore the sufficiency of contentment is an enduring and unchanging sufficiency. Chapter 47. 1. Without going outside his door, one understands all that takes place under the sky. Without looking out from his window, one sees the Tao of heaven. The farther that one goes out from himself, the less he knows. 2. Therefore the sages got their knowledge without traveling. gave their right names to things without seeing them, and accomplished their ends without any purpose of doing so. Chapter 48. 1. He who devotes himself to learning seeks from day to day to increase his knowledge. He who devotes himself to the Tao seeks from day to day to diminish his doing. 2. He diminishes it and again diminishes it, till he arrives at doing nothing on purpose. Having arrived at this point of non-action, there is nothing which he does not do. 3. He who gets as his own all under heaven does so by giving himself no trouble with that end. If one take trouble with that end, he is not equal to getting as his own all under heaven. Chapter 49. 1. The sage has no invariable mind of his own. He makes the mind of the people his mind. 2. To those who are good to me, I am good. And to those who are not good to me, I am also good. And thus all get to be good. To those who are sincere with me, I am sincere. And to those who are not sincere with me, I am also sincere. And thus all get to be sincere. 3. The sage has in the world an appearance of indecision and keeps his mind in a state of indifference to all. The people all keep their eyes and ears directed to him, and he deals with them all as his children. Chapter 50. 1. Men come forth and live. They enter again and die. 2. Of every 10, 3 are ministers of life to themselves, and 3 are ministers of death. 3. There are also 3 in every 10 whose aim is to live, but whose movements tend to the land or place of death. And for what reason? Because of their excessive endeavors to perpetuate life. 4. But I have heard that he who is skillful in managing the life entrusted to him for a time travels on the land without having to shun rhinoceros or tiger, and enters the host without having to avoid buff coat or sharp weapon. The rhinoceros finds no place in him into which to thrust its horn, nor the tiger a place in which to fix its claws, nor the weapon a place to admit its point. And for what reason? Because there is in him no place of death. Chapter 51. 1. All things are produced by the Tao and nourished by its outflowing operation. They receive their forms according to the nature of each, and are completed according to the circumstances of their condition. Therefore, all things without exception honor the Tao and exalt its outflowing operation. 2. This honoring of the Tao and exalting of its operation is not the result of any ordination, but always a spontaneous tribute. 3. Thus it is that the Tao produces all things, nourishes them, brings them to their full growth, nurses them, completes them, matures them, maintains them, and overspreads them. 4. It produces them and makes no claim to the possession of them. It carries them through their processes and does not vaunt its ability in doing so. It brings them to maturity and exercises no control over them. This is called its mysterious operation. Chapter 52. 1. The Tao, which originated all under the sky, is to be considered as the mother of them all. 2. When the mother is found, we know what her children should be. When one knows that he is his mother's child, and proceeds to guard the qualities of the mother that belong to him, to the end of his life he will be free from all peril. 3. Let him keep his mouth closed and shut up the portals of his nostrils, and all his life he will be exempt from laborious exertion. Let him keep his mouth open and spend his breath in the promotion of his affairs, and all his life there will be no safety for him. 4. The perception of what is small is the secret of clear-sightedness. The guarding of what is soft and tender is the secret of strength. 5. Who uses well his light, reverting to its source so bright, will from his body ward all blight, and hides the unchanging from men's sight. Chapter 53. 1. If I were suddenly to become known and put into a position to conduct a government according to the great Tao, what I should be most afraid of would be a boastful display. 2. The great Tao, or way, is very level and easy, but people love the byways. 3. Their courtyards and buildings shall be kept well, but their fields shall be ill-cultivated and their granaries very empty. They shall wear elegant and ornamented robes, carrying a sharp sword at their girdle, pamper themselves in eating and drinking, and have a superabundance of property and wealth. Such princes may be called robbers and boasters. This is contrary to the Tao, surely. Chapter 54. 1. What Tao's skillful planter plants can never be uptorn. What his skillful arms enfold from him can ne'er be born. Sons shall bring in lengthening line, sacrifices to his shrine. 2. Tao, when nursed within oneself, his vigor will make true, and where the family it rules, what riches will accrue. The neighborhood where it prevails, in thriving will abound, and when 'tis seen throughout the state, good fortune will be found. Employ it the kingdom o'er, and men thrive all around. 3. In this way the effect will be seen in the person, by the observation of different cases, in the family, in the neighborhood, in the state, and in the kingdom. 4. How do I know that this effect is sure to hold thus all under the sky? By this method of observation. Chapter 55. 1. He who has in himself abundantly the attributes of the Tao is like an infant. Poisonous insects will not sting him. Fierce beasts will not seize him. Birds of prey will not strike him. 2. The infant's bones are weak and its sinews soft, but yet its grasp is firm. It knows not yet the union of male and female, and yet its virile member may be excited, showing the perfection of its physical essence. All day long it will cry without its throat becoming hoarse, showing the harmony in its constitution. 3. To him by whom this harmony is known, the secret of the unchanging Tao is shown, and in the knowledge wisdom finds its throne. All life-increasing arts to evil turn, where the mind makes the vital breath to burn. False is the strength, and o'er it we should mourn. 4. When things have become strong, they then become old, which may be said to be contrary to the Tao. Whatever is contrary to the Tao soon ends. Chapter 56. 1. He who knows the Tao does not care to speak about it. He who is ever ready to speak about it does not know it. 2. He who knows it will keep his mouth shut and close the portals of his nostrils. He will blunt his sharp points and unravel the complication of things. He will attempt his brightness and bring himself into agreement with the obscurity of others. This is called the mysterious agreement. 3. Such an one cannot be treated familiarly or distantly. He is beyond all consideration of profit or injury, of nobility or meanness. He is the noblest man under heaven. Chapter 57. 1. A state may be ruled by measures of correction. Weapons of war may be used with crafty dexterity, but the kingdom is made one's own only by freedom from action and purpose. 2. How do I know that it is so? By these facts. In the kingdom, the multiplication of prohibitive enactments increases the poverty of the people. The more implements to add to their profit that the people have, the greater disorder is there in the state and clan. The more acts of crafty dexterity that men possess, the more do strange contrivances appear. The more displays there is of legislation, the more thieves and robbers there are. 3. Therefore a sage has said, I will do nothing of purpose, and the people will be transformed of themselves. I will be fond of keeping still, and the people will of themselves become correct. I will take no trouble about it, and the people will of themselves become rich. I will manifest no ambition, and the people will of themselves attain to the primitive simplicity. Chapter 58. 1. The government that seems the most unwise, oft goodness to the people best supplies, that which is meddling, touching everything, will work but ill, and disappointment bring. Misery, happiness is to be found by its side. Happiness, misery lurks beneath it. Who knows what either will come to in the end? 2. Shall we then dispense with correction? The method of correction shall by a turn become distortion, and the good in it shall by a turn become evil. The delusion of the people on this point has indeed subsisted for a long time. 3. Therefore the sage is like a square which cuts no one with its angles, like a corner which injures no one with its sharpness. He is straightforward, but allows himself no license. He is bright, but does not dazzle. Chapter 59. 1. For regulating the human in our constitution and rendering the proper service to the heavenly, there is nothing like moderation. 2. It is only by this moderation that there is effected an early return to man's normal state. That early return is what I call the repeated accumulation of the attributes of the Tao. With that repeated accumulation of those attributes, there comes the subjugation of every obstacle to such return. Of this subjugation we know not what shall be the limit, and when one knows not what the limit shall be, he may be the ruler of a state. 3. He who possesses the mother of the state may continue long. His case is like that of the plant, of which we say that its roots are deep and its flower stalks firm. This is the way to secure that its enduring life shall long be seen. Chapter 60. 1. Governing a great state is like cooking small fish. 2. Let the kingdom be governed according to the Tao, and the manes of the departed will not manifest their spiritual energy. It is not that those manes have not that spiritual energy, but it will not be employed to hurt men. It is not that it could not hurt men, but neither does the ruling sage hurt them. 3. When these two do not injuriously affect each other, their good influences converge in the virtue of the Tao. Chapter 61. 1. What makes a great state is its being like a low-lying, down-flowing stream. It becomes a center to which tend all the small states under heaven. 2. To illustrate from the case of all females, the female always overcomes the male by her stillness. Stillness may be considered a sort of abasement. 3. Thus it is that a great state, by condescending to small states, gains them for itself, and that small states, by abasing themselves to a great state, win it over to them. In the one case, the abasement leads to gaining adherence, in the other case, to procuring favor. 4. The great state only wishes to unite men together and nourish them. A small state only wishes to be received by, and to serve, the other. Each gets what it desires, but the great state must learn to abase itself. Chapter 62. 1. Tao has of all things the most honored place. No treasures give good men so rich a grace. Bad men it guards, and doth their ill efface. 2. Its admirable words can purchase honor. Its admirable deeds can raise their performer above others. Even men who are not good are not abandoned by it. 3. Therefore, when the sovereign occupies his place as a son of heaven, and he has appointed his 3 ducal ministers, though a prince were to send in a round symbol of rank large enough to fill both the hands, and that as the precursor of the team of horses in the courtyard, such an offering would not be equal to a lesson of this Tao, which one might present on his knees. 4. Why was it that the ancients prized this Tao so much? Was it not because it could be got by seeking for it, and the guilty could escape from the strain of their guilt by it? This is the reason why all under heaven consider it the most valuable thing. Chapter 63. 1. It is the way of the Tao to act without thinking of acting, to conduct affairs without feeling the trouble of them, to taste without discerning any flavor, to consider what is small as great, and a few as many, and to recompense injury with kindness. 2. The master of it anticipates things that are difficult while they are easy, and does things that would become great while they are small. All difficult things in the world are sure to arise from a previous state in which they were easy, and all great things from one in which they were small. Therefore the sage, while he never does what is great, is able on that account to accomplish the greatest things. 3. He who lightly promises is sure to keep but little faith. He who is continually thinking things easy is sure to find them difficult. Therefore the sage sees difficulty even in what seems easy, and so never has any difficulties. Chapter 64. 1. That which is at rest is easily kept hold of. Before a thing has given indications of its presence, it is easy to take measures against it. That which is brittle is easily broken. That which is very small is easily dispersed. Action should be taken before a thing has made its appearance. Order should be secured before disorder has begun. 2. The tree which fills the arms grew from the tiniest sprout. The tower of 9 stories rose from a small heap of earth. The journey of 1,000 li commenced with a single step. 3. He who acts with an ulterior purpose does harm. He who takes hold of a thing in the same way loses his hold. The sage does not act so, and therefore does no harm. He does not lay hold so, and therefore does not lose his bold. But people in their conduct of affairs are constantly ruining them when they are on the eve of success. If they were careful at the end, as they should be at the beginning, they would not so ruin them. 4. Therefore the sage desires what other men do not desire, and does not prize things difficult to get. He learns what other men do not learn, and turns back to what the multitude of men have passed by. Thus he helps the natural development of all things, and does not dare to act with an ulterior purpose of his own. Chapter 65. 1. The ancients who showed their skill in practicing the Tao did so not to enlighten the people, but rather to make them simple and ignorant. 2. The difficulty in governing the people arises from their having much knowledge. He who tries to govern a state by his wisdom is a scourge to it, while he who does not try to do so is a blessing. 3. He who knows these 2 things finds in them also his model and rule. Ability to know this model and rule constitutes what we call the mysterious excellence of a governor. Deep and far-reaching is such mysterious excellence, showing indeed its possessor as opposite to others, but leading them to a great conformity to him. Chapter 66. 1. That whereby the rivers and seas are able to receive the homage and tribute of all the valley streams, is their skill in being lower than they. It is thus that they are the kings of them all. So it is that the sage ruler, wishing to be above men, puts himself by his words below them, and wishing to be before them, places his person behind them. 2. In this way, though he has his place above them, men do not feel his weight, nor though he has his place before them, do they feel it an injury to them. 3. Therefore all in the world delight to exalt him and do not weary of him. Because he does not strive, no one finds it possible to strive with him. Chapter 67. 1. All the world says that while my Tao is great, it yet appears to be inferior to other systems of teaching. Now it is just its greatness that makes it seem to be inferior. If it were like any other system, for long would its smallness have been known. 2. But I have 3 precious things which I prize and hold fast. The first is gentleness, the second is economy, and the third is shrinking from taking precedence of others. 3. With that gentleness I can be bold, with that economy I can be liberal. Shrinking from taking precedence of others, I can become a vessel of the highest honor. Nowadays they give up gentleness and are all for being bold, economy, and are all for being liberal, the hindmost place, and seek only to be foremost, of all which the end is death. 4. Gentleness is sure to be victorious even in battle, and firmly to maintain its ground. Heaven will save its possessor by his very gentleness protecting him. Chapter 68. He who endows wars has skill, assumes no martial port. He who fights with most good will, to rage makes no resort. He who vanquishes yet still, keeps from his foes apart. He whose hests men most fulfill, yet humbly plies his art. Thus we say, he ne'er contends, and therein is his might. Thus we say, men's wills he bends, that they with him unite. Thus we say, like heaven's his ends, no sage of old more bright. Chapter 69. 1. A master of the art of war has said, I do not dare to be the host to commence the war. I prefer to be the guest to act on the defensive. I do not dare to advance an inch. I prefer to retire a foot. 2. There is no calamity greater than lightly engaging in war. To do that is near losing the gentleness which is so precious. Thus it is that when opposing weapons are actually crossed, he who deplores the situation conquers. Chapter 70. 1. My words are very easy to know, and very easy to practice. But there is no one in the world who is able to know and able to practice them. 2. There is an originating and all-comprehending principle in my words, and an authoritative law for the things which I enforce. It is because they do not know these that men do not know me. 3. They who know me are few, and I am on that account the more to be prized. It is thus that the sage wears a poor garb of haircloth, while he carries his signet of jade in his bosom. Chapter 71. 1. To know and yet think we do not know is the highest attainment. Not to know and yet think we do know is a disease. 2. It is simply by being pained at the thought of having this disease that we are preserved from it. The sage has not the disease. He knows the pain that would be inseparable from it, and therefore he does not have it. Chapter 72. 1. When the people do not fear what they ought to fear, that which is their great dread will come on them. 2. Let them not thoughtlessly indulge themselves in their ordinary life. Let them not act as if weary of what that life depends on. 3. It is avoiding such indulgence that such weariness does not arise. 4. Therefore the sage knows these things of himself, but does not parade his knowledge, loves, but does not appear to set a value on himself. And thus he puts the latter alternative away, and makes choice of the former. Chapter 73. 1. He whose boldness appears in his daring to do wrong, in defiance of the laws, is put to death. He whose boldness appears in his not daring to do so lives on. Of these two cases, the one appears to be advantageous, and the other to be injurious. But when heaven's anger smites a man, who the cause shall truly scan? On this account the sage feels a difficulty as to what to do in the former case. 2. It is the way of heaven not to strive, and yet it skillfully overcomes, not to speak, and yet it is skillful in obtaining a reply, does not call, and yet men come to it of themselves. Its demonstrations are quiet, and yet its plans are skillful and effective. The meshes of the net of heaven are large, far apart, but letting nothing escape. Chapter 74. 1. The people do not fear death. To what purpose is it to try to frighten them with death? If the people were always in awe of death, and I could always seize those who do wrong and put them to death, who would dare to do wrong? 2. There is always one who presides over the infliction death. He who would inflict death in the room of him so presides over it may be described as hewing wood instead of a great carpenter. Seldom is it that he who undertakes the hewing instead of the great carpenter does not cut his own hands. Chapter 75. 1. The people suffer from famine because of the multitude of taxes consumed by their superiors. It is through this that they suffer famine. 2. The people are difficult to govern because of the excessive agency of their superiors in governing them. It is through this that they are difficult to govern. 3. The people make light of dying because of the greatness of their labors in seeking for the means of living. It is this which makes them think light of dying. Thus it is that to leave the subject of living altogether out of view is better than to set a high value on it. Chapter 76. 1. Man at his birth is supple and weak, at his death firm and strong. So it is with all things. Trees and plants, in their early growth, are soft and brittle, at their death dry and withered. 2. Thus it is that firmness and strength are the concomitants of death, softness and weakness the concomitants of life. 3. Hence he who relies on the strength of his forces does not conquer, and a tree which is stronger will find the outstretched arms, and thereby invites the feller. 4. Therefore the place of what is firm and strong is below, and that of what is soft and weak is above. Chapter 77. 1. May not the way or Tao of heaven be compared to the method of bending a bow? The part of the bow which was high is brought low, and what was low is raised up. So heaven diminishes where there is superabundance, and supplements where there is deficiency. 2. It is the way of heaven to diminish superabundance, and to supplement deficiency. It is not so with the way of man. He takes away from those who have not enough to add to his own superabundance. 3. Who can take his own superabundance and therewith serve all under heaven? Only he who is in possession of the Tao. 4. Therefore the ruling sage acts without claiming the results as his. He achieves his merit and does not rest arrogantly in it. He does not wish to display his superiority. Chapter 78. 1. There is nothing in the world more soft and weak than water, and yet for attacking things that are firm and strong, there is nothing that can take precedence of it. For there is nothing so effectual for which it can be changed. Every one in the world knows that the soft overcomes the hard, and the weak the strong, but no one is able to carry it out in practice. 3. Therefore a sage has said, he who accepts his state's reproach is hailed therefore its altar's lord. To him who bears men's direful woes, they all the name of king accord. 4. Words that are strictly true seem to be paradoxical. Chapter 79. 1. When a reconciliation is effected between two parties after a great animosity, there is sure to be a grudge remaining in the mind of the one who was wrong. And how can this be beneficial to the other? 2. Therefore, to guard against this, The sage keeps the left-hand portion of the record of the engagement and does not insist on the speedy fulfillment of it by the other party. So he who has the attributes of the Tao regards only the conditions of the engagement, while he who has not those attributes regards only the conditions favorable to himself. 3. In the way of heaven, there is no partiality of love. It is always on the side of the good man. Chapter 80. 1. In a little state with a small population, I would so order it that, though there were individuals with the abilities of 10 or 100 men, there should be no employment of them. I would make the people, while looking on death as a grievous thing, yet not remove elsewhere to avoid it. 2. Though they had boats and carriages, they should have no occasion to ride in them. Though they had buff coats and sharp weapons, they should have no occasion to don or use them. 3. I would make the people return to the use of knotted cords instead of the written characters. 4. They should think their coarse food sweet, their plain clothes beautiful, their poor dwellings places of rest, and their common simple ways sources of enjoyment. 5. There should be a neighboring state within sight, and the voices of the fowls and dogs should be heard all the way from it to us. But I would make the people to old age, even to death, not have any intercourse with it. Chapter 81. 1. Sincere words are not fine. Fine words are not sincere. Those who are skilled in the Tao do not dispute about it. The disputations are not skilled in it. Those who know the Tao are not extensively learned. The extensively learned do not know it. 2. The sage does not accumulate for himself. The more that he expends for others, the more does he possess of his own. The more that he gives to others, the more does he have himself. 3. With all the sharpness of the way of heaven, it injures not. With all the doing in the way of the sage, he does not strive.
We hope you've enjoyed this presentation. For additional audio and video educational material, please visit www.learnoutloud.com.